6:55.
You were so early yesterday, and now you're on time. Man. I thought I was up early today, but I guess not. After dilly-dallying, I'm running behind. I'm just south of town now. So I don't know why traffic's backed up, like, all down 53. Oh. I mean, no, I'm too far away, but I know they're doing some crack sealing. I think 24-ish, 23-ish, somewhere over there, 22, I don't know, somewhere south of there. Yeah, they got my subdivision all tore up. They've got the half mile, which I usually come in on. They got that all ripped up in one direction, and then you never know. Sometimes the streets you can cut across it on are open, sometimes they're closed, depending on whether they're working on that stretch. So it's best just to avoid it. You know, and then it's like they, you know, everybody notices this, and I think there is some truth to it, but, you know, they always seem to mess up a bunch of things in an area. So, you know, you got to deal with all this different stuff. I'm guessing it's because, you know, since they're there, oh, we'll get that too. I think there's a lot of truth to that, whether or not they intend on doing everything in an area initially. Seems like that's what it turns into, because the projects never start at the same time.
The one that drove me nuts was a few years back. I forget exactly when it was, but it's like every east-west road was shut down from where I live, you know, over to Grosbeck. Somewhere along the way, they were shut. So there was no alternative. You either had to go all the way up to 16 or all the way down to 8 Mile or something like that. You know, it is crazy, but all the ones right by me were all shut down. And it's like, really? You know, can't you coordinate so that if 12's being worked on, 13's available or, you know, something like that? But no, shut them all down.
I doubt it's an efficiency thing. I think it's just a lack of consideration where they're like, yeah, well, we'll be in that area, send out these guys to do this job, this needs to be done, yada, yada, yada. Not taking into account the fact that they're gridlocking an entire square mile.
Yuppers. Oh, anyhow. So, I'm hoping, I got my fingers crossed, I might have a 706 Mark IIG for you. I gotta put power to it and make sure it's functional.
Oh, really? How clean is it?
Well, we'll see when I get it out on the bench.
That was kind of why I abandoned my search. Every time I found them, they were thrashed or they were missing parts or didn't have a mic or the faceplate was broken, and it's like, what do you people do to these things? Albeit they're old, I get it, right? But my 710 lives on my desk. I'm pretty sure that thing will stay mint forever.
Yeah, this is more a price will be right kind of a thing than a minty. So we'll see. I got to get it up and see what's going on.
Well, let me know. I'm always looking for one.
Now that you mention it, I don't remember seeing a mic.
Was that a generational thing? The people that own those radios just didn't care, or were those radios meant to be used and abused?
There's like two kinds of people. There's the people that they get a new radio, the first thing they do is they pull it out of the box, and they, you know, and they, that little bag of accessories that come with it, they're like, you know, they don't even take that out of the box or anything else. They might pull the manual out, maybe. And then they just throw they throw it out, the box and anything else that might have been in there, the styrofoam inserts. And, you know, they're left with the radio, the power cord, the mic, and maybe the manual. And that's just how they operate, you know. And there's people like me, I keep the boxes and the packaging and all those little knickknacks.
tracks and everything like that. You know, and then there's, and then of those people that keep all the stuff, there's two kinds. There's the ones that, you know, cover their stuff with a terry cloth, you know, when they're not using it, and, you know, wipe every fingerprint off it. And then there's guys like me that just, you know, they throw it in the rack and put things on top of it. And, you know, they don't get trashed, but they definitely go from like new to used. So yeah, just different. But yeah, the ones that, you know, just pitch all the accessories or something. But I think in some cases it's just that, you know, if the person that owned it was selling it, it'd be one thing. But, you know, when it's in a state, they just grab whatever and, you know, hope for the best.
On the delicately unpackage everything, save everything that came with it, so when I inevitably go to sell it, it's basically like you're getting an open box radio. That's how all of my gear has been. Everything's mint. The plastic wrap that comes with it, I mean, it just, it makes it easier to get what you want out of the rig when you're selling it. Same with my HTs. I save all the boxes, all that crap. So when I ship these things or when I sell them locally, whatever, it's like, here's your DX Engineering open box, because everyone knows I don't really use it that much. I play with it, I get bored, and I sell it.
Yep. No, not me. I do keep this stuff, but I do like doing that. But I don't take any great pains. You know, my stuff gets dusty and might even pick up a light scratch here or there or something like that. Usually nothing serious, but you know, when I buy, I expect to get much better deals. You know, because I'm looking for things that are, I'm actually pretty surprised when I get something that's minty, because I don't buy anything at fair market. I only buy things that are severely under market.
Well, that's the smart way of buying stuff. I was talking to Dave yesterday. I want to get another 705 as a glorified desk ornament, because it's kind of a do-all, and it's like, you can't really find great deals on those, and paying retail for it with needing the USB-C mod and all that, it's like, Jesus. K8, are you H?
Well, good morning, Anthony. And you have to tell me why a 705 and why not, like, why not, like, the new Yaesu one or whatever. Good morning, Anthony. Go ahead.
2 days in a row. Look at this. I'm back in it, gentlemen. How you guys doing today?
Good morning, Anthony. Welcome back. I'm doing good. Just a little behind schedule. Just talking radios on the radio per usual. And I'm thinking 705, Sean, because I like the ICOM. I like the POV cage I can get for it. The D-Star. I don't know. It's going to be tough for me to sink that kind of money into a Yaesu. Plus that FT1 or whatever, by the time you buy the amp and all that crap, it's almost $2,000 versus 705, which I guess I don't need to get it with the amp. But, yeah, I don't know. I just like the ICOM.
Yep, me too. But that Yaesu packs a lot of punch, so I'm not against it. I've just never been a big fan of the Yaesus, but, you know, the guys love them. They work really good. And so, Anthony, you shifting your schedule or just, you know, just happens with school starting, just kind of going to be a thing now. And did you meet up with our boy yesterday and M3 it?
Yep, I took care of that with Fred, and then, no, schedule is not shifting. I am able to get in a few minutes later. I was getting in at, like, 6:40. Now the crew is getting in at 8, so I don't have to be there quite as early and to get the building open. My hours are still 7 to 3:30, but today I'm actually headed over towards you guys. I'm going to, the networking event or some conference thing at Macomb Community College Center campus. So I am en route that way will be very early, but I get out of my house early, so it is what it is. I go grab a coffee or something, I guess.
Well, you'll be in simplex range. A networking event.
Oh, yeah, I get sucked into these things all the time. I always feel like it's the last place I want to be, and then I go and I have fun and talk to a bunch of people, and it's good, but I hate going to these things. But, you know, I guess I also hate it because my dress, well, there is no dress code, but my dress code at the office is so lax that anytime I have to, like, go out in public, I have to dress like an adult, I feel like. So, you know, I have a button-down shirt on, and that is abnormal for me these days. I'm usually a polo and shorts. But, you know, it is what it is. Everybody's got to be an adult once in a while.
Dude, preach. My title changed and my dress code went down somehow. I wear work boots, jeans, and a black t-shirt to work every single day. There you go. I tend to do the same thing, you know. I'm not ultra casual, but you know, we don't do shorts. I don't know if it's a can't, we just don't. But we do in the garage. The guys in the garage can wear shorts when it's like 90, of course, you know. But that tomorrow I got a meeting in Lansing, so I'll have to put on the monkey suit for that. But when you say networking, do you mean networking as in it's going to be IT-related things? Or when you say networking, do you mean like shaking hands and exchanging business cards?
This is shaking hands and kissing babies. This event is actually put on by a group, I believe it's called McCull, M-C-U-L, and it's a group for the school districts. And the school districts do quite a bit of IT buying and spend, so there's going to be some big dogs here, and then us little guys got to come in and try to pick up the scraps.
Flying in some hardware, I like it. Sorry, dealing with traffic here. Garfield and 16. Anyhow.
Yeah, these guys, so a couple years ago, we did the refresh of all of the computers at Chippewa Valley School District. We did 2,200 PCs, monitors, and laptops in about 5 weeks because they were late because of shortages due to COVID. So that one got pretty wild, but you know, we do the warehousing, the imaging, the deployment, and then, you know, literally the deployment where we're putting them on desks and joining the network. So a lot of these schools need that kind of service because they do not staff nearly that many IT employees.
Did you guys rebid Chippewa? Because I bid against, I don't know if it was you, but I bid against someone 2023, I think. Yeah, it was end of 23. We got demos and everything.
So I think there was still some staff computers. We did, I want to say, the 21-22 school year, and they operate on their five-year millage. So I think there was still some admin computers and maybe a little bit of staff, but all of the student computers and a majority of the teachers, we refreshed in 21-22. So there might have been another batch of them in 23.
Yep, that was what we were bidding on, was staff computers, because I was supposed to go to meet and greet with my hardware and answer any questions I had. It was so stupid.
Sean must be getting coffee. Yeah, it's a dog and pony show. We're really the boots on the ground, the guys doing the work. When we did it, we subbed for a company probably similar to what you guys were doing that acquired all the equipment and was the prime, and then we did all the work for the prime as a sub. So it works out really well because people do not want to do what we do. So when they learn about our services, they get pretty excited.
Yeah, I'm going to hire a guy to do what you guys do because I can't stand doing it.
So, Dakota, I ended up going with that Garden bow, and man, I am loving it.
Are those still made in Michigan?
Yep, that's one of, that was one of my determining factors, honestly. Everyone that I talked to, everyone that I talked to in shops, they're like, man, they're all good. They're all the same. They have their little nuances. This one might be heavier, this one might be lighter. And one guy that I ended up working with, he was super hot on the Dartons, and they were made in Michigan, and the price point was a couple hundred bucks cheaper than some of the other flagships, and so I went with that.
Did we lose Sean? Good, I'm glad. Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at, and I was telling my buddy this too. He ended up buying my Phase 4, but they're all the same. They all shoot the same weighted arrow at the same speed. It's just, you know, quality of life things. What's the draw cycle like? What features does it have? What's the weight? You know, the marketing's a big part of it. Like, Matthews markets harder than anybody, and that's why they're the most expensive. But they've got some, you know, they got the integrate system where all the stuff's in the riser, which is cool, but not necessary. I mean, but, you know, like he said, they're all the same, man. They're all shooting a 400 grain arrow at like 300 feet per second. What else do you need to kill an animal?
Yep, I went Sunday. So the guy that I ended up buying it from does it all out of his garage. He used to run MJC, I think what it was. There was one in Clawson and one in Fraser or Roseville on Grosbeck. But he's just an old-timer, and he's taking care of me, which was awesome. He took me out shooting Sunday, and we got my sight tape on, and I am dialed, man. I need to get some reps in, but I was hitting the target, or I should say hitting, I think I hit a couple inside like the 10 ring, but at 50 yards. So I'm pretty dialed. I need to get way more comfortable and probably never shoot anything over 30. But, I mean, man, I'm pretty pumped for it. I want to maybe get in the league this winter and just really get some reps in and learn everything I can to get it dialed in.
And it's all muscle memory and consistency. If you can knock those down, you're good. Especially if you're hitting 10 ringers at 50. I mean, if you're shooting a palm-sized groove, you got to remember the stuff you're aiming at. It's like an 8 to 12-inch kill circle. So as long as you hit a paper plate, it's a full freezer.
Yep, and, you know, it's funny you say it that way because there was a couple times that the group wasn't that tight, but there would be, you know, I'd shoot 6 arrows and two sets of them would be on top of each other, and then, you know, the other two arrows would be 6 inches away from them, and I'm looking at it going, you know, these are still all within the tolerance of hitting an animal where I'd want, you know. It's really cool. I'm so excited I got it. I'm really glad. It was a good purchase.
I'm glad you're in the phase that I used to be in and enjoy I don't know, probably 10, 12 years ago when I first really got into archery. It's an awesome hobby, awesome way to hunt. The possibilities are endless with customizing your setup. And, you know, it's you versus the bow, so, or you versus yourself, really. You got to dial it in as much as you can, and that's what makes you a good archer. But I'm lazy now. I shoot a crossbow, so I'm not mad about it, because there's been many times I've not been able to get a deer because I'm holding a bow and I can't bend around the tree or can't get it out of the blind or whatever. But I'm not hunting for sport anymore. Not at this point in my life. I got too much crap going on, too much obligation that I can't spend enough time in the woods. So I need to go out there and make a count.
Absolutely, I get that. I mean, it is, even me, like, everyone's asking, well, are you going to hunt this year with it? And I don't think I have enough reps in to be comfortable shooting it, you know, but also I'm looking at it going, how in the world am I going to find time to do this? Now, that being said, the one good thing is archery season is before the time change. So I could theoretically get out after work, which, once you get to gun season, I do not have that ability. So, you know, I may get out and sit a time or two this year, and if something, like, wildly great presents itself, take it. But it's more just to sit in the woods and enjoy it.
I'm finally back. We were worried about you. I know. Anyhow. And no, I didn't do the Starbucks. I'm doing that right now. But anywho, I won't, let me, give me a round to figure out where we're at. Yeah, Andy, that's the way to do it, man. If you can sneak out after work for a bit, and, I mean, you really only need to sit for an hour and a half, 2 hours, as long as you got a place to go. The problem with you is where you're at. You don't really have anywhere to hunt. So you got to either go downriver or up here, which is not, although if you're in Troy, I guess it's not that bad to get out here. As far as hunting with the bow this year, how are you when you got a deer in your crosshairs? Do you get a little, heart rate going, or are you cool, calm, cool, and collected?
You know, that one that I got last year, I was surprisingly calm and cool and collected, but I would imagine, with a bow, it would be less. I'm far more comfortable with a gun, and have absolutely way more experience with that. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I can get out to my buddy's houses, you know, in Ray, and after work and sit. They'd be happy to have me, and then have a couple beers afterwards.
That's pretty funny. Guy hands me my coffee. He goes, oh, he goes, it's the radio guy. You're Starbucks famous.
Hey, guys, I'm going to pump gas real quick, and then I'll hop back in. If you guys are still out there, it's closing in on time for you gentlemen to get into the office. But I'll be back in a second.
Okay, we'll see you in a bit. You know, archery is the one thing I never did more than recreationally. I was okay, but I never fired under, under pressure or anything like that, so who knows how I would have done. I know how I am, firearm, and I'm a heart pounder. It's my heart gets pounding, when I've got one in the crosshairs. I don't know how that would have affected me for archery, because I never really bow hunted. With bow hunting, it's definitely different. It's way more intimate. You're obviously way closer to the animal. I mean, sometimes inside 20 yards. So, I mean, you can almost smell the animal. So, yeah, it's a little different. If you're if you get a little excited looking at a deer with a rifle in your hand, you're definitely going to get excited when you're drawing a bow back. Because that's the other thing, too, right? With a rifle, you're flipping a safety off and you're pulling a trigger. With a bow, there's so many other steps involved to make sure that draw is perfect and you're doing everything you're supposed to do, that you're going to actually take that animal cleanly. There's more to it, for sure. Yeah, it's probably why I never tried it, just because, I knew it was a bigger commitment.
you know, to the clean kill. You know, it's you're gonna. I never really, you know, really felt my skills were up enough to, you know, to do it justice. So, but it seems like the, you know, I mean, well, it was awfully, it was a lot different too when back then. You know, you had, you know, this nowadays it seems like I can't even keep track of all the different seasons and rules and dope permits and multiple, you know, tags and stuff like that. It's just like makes my head spin.
Yeah, they keep, it's like they keep amending the season and the permits. So now, basically, from September 21st to 22nd, early go, then firearm, and then archery opens October 1st and goes until November 15th. I don't think it closes down. It might. But then there's November 15th until, I don't know, it's only like 2 or 3 weeks, and then there's a no gun week or some crap, and then it goes into muzzleloader season, but down here you can use straight wall. And then it goes into late antlerless firearm, and then late archery, yeah. Basically, you can hunt in southeastern Michigan on private land from October 1st till basically the end of January.
So, November 15th has always been the classic firearm deer, right? But I thought I heard you say something about, and I know about the straight wall and the muzzle loader, you know. But you said something else, that there's some firearm allowed before the 15th, November 15th.
Yeah. So every year they have early doe or early antlerless, they call it, which is, I think it's the weekend after the Liberty Youth Hunt. So there's September 21st and 22nd, you can go out with a rifle or a straight wall down here, and you can shoot a doe, which I've done many times because it's super convenient to have my freezer full before the season starts.
All right, yeah, okay. Did not know that. That's what I mean, it's just confusing. All right, I just pulled up here, I got to get inside. I'll have the radio on, but I think you'll be destinated before I have a chance to jump back in. W8FU.
Yep, I'm a mile out, so maybe I'll catch you in the afternoon. NADVF. Anthony, I'm still here for a minute if you're listening.
Hey, I'll cut you loose too. I just got back in my car from getting gas, and I will maybe catch up with you gentlemen later this afternoon. K-8-R-U-H.
Sounds good. N-A-D-B-F.
Go ahead, Lance.
Yeah,
Yeah, sorry to hear that. My aunt passed away a few months ago, and my dad just spread her ashes this weekend up at her cottage in the UP, so. Not this weekend, but next weekend, we have her funeral.
That was your mother, Lance, or your wife's mother? I'm sorry I didn't catch all of that. My ears are kind of blocked today. As you can tell, I'm kind of stuffed.
No, that was my aunt. She had lung cancer. In July, they did a welfare check, and she had passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry to hear about Autumn, Dave, and James's mom. You know, I heard about James yesterday, and now Autumn. And Lance, Dave works with me. That's W8RIT. So, and Autumn is our installation manager, and that, you know, she's very close with her mom, so I know she's really torn up about it.
Yeah, I was not aware that Dave's mother has passed away too as well, so. Yeah, not good timing here. Anyway, I'm coming up back out here. Let's see, I carry on. Everything's right.
You get that mic fixed, drill a hole in it. 73 KCKGO. Go ahead, Lance.
I don't know what radio that is. Some of them have a gain control in the menu. Crank up the audio gain. And so we can definitely light immediately.
Yeah, I had the same issue with my Alinco. And that's what Sean and Wally said is, hey, you know, you sound kind of tinny. So when I got a chance, I went in the office and I tore my mic apart and I made the mic hole a little bit bigger for the channel. Kind of made it about the size of the actual channel itself. You know, the little rubber channel that's in there. And so far, they said, you know, sounds better than what it was.
Yeah, I've heard of having to do that on the radio, especially the dial things and whatnot. The dial thing I had was the UVA 5R plus 2 or something, or V2 plus or something like that. It was, I don't know what was different about it, but it was a little bit more money. And I don't know, the only thing people complained about was it sounded like the dial thing.
Yeah, I got a UV5R and I got a UV5R plus. I use the Baofeng now strictly for wind leak and wind leak packet. Oh, somebody's calling me. I'll be back. Hey, KJO.
Hey,
KJO.
WDAKLL. WDAKLL.
KF8DIC.
Good morning, Jack. WDAKLL.
Oh, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Yeah, a little bit sore this morning, but after I got my shot yesterday, but all's well.
Yeah, That's good. Another sunny day, beautiful day out there, and I heard it's going to be in the 80s.
Yep, that's for sure. What was your answer today? I missed it.
The answer was you have one dog too. He's just kidding. I know you got to take care of it, that one plant and all that. And have a good day. That's what he said.
Yeah. What? How many plants did you say you had?
I have one, and I have to take care of it. Take it outside in the summer, bring it in, wash it, clean it, and all that stuff. Shine it too.
Okay, yeah, I missed it. Doggone it. All right, well, any plans today?
Right now, no. I haven't had a coffee yet. I just woke up about an hour ago. I just circled around and see what it looked like outside. And that grass is getting dry a little bit because there's no rain. So, hey, later on, I got to go out there and feed up that grass.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, it's all good up here right now. Our grass is nice and green, and got it mowed, so we're all good here for sure.
Well, good talking to you, Greg. We'll talk again. Anyway, I gotta get me some coffee. I haven't woke up yet. Woke up and brew this morning. All right, take care.
KFADIC. All right, Jack. We'll talk at you later. WDAKL will be clear.
You got in that work truck? KF8CWM.
I got my 2-meter that I'm talking on now. Then I have Motorola DMR, UHF DMRS, and I'm playing with the UHF VH25 that's sitting on my seat. So that's four antennas on the roof because I got a V25 scanner up there.
My wife thinks I'm bad, and my boss, because He comes by, he sees me. I'm listening to DMR. I'm listening to, of course, this, and I'm listening to P25. He thinks I'm just nuts.
Well, I can listen to three conversations simultaneously on three different radios, including listening to my satellite radio as I'm driving.
Well, I don't do that in the vehicle anymore. I have one radio and my stereo, but back in the day I had a business band, a CB radio, and the stereo going, and it used to give my wife a headache. But, yeah, no, I'm just curious because I just heard you on all three of them.
Yes, sir. Three radios, three conversations. All depends on which one's squawking away is which mic I grab.
Now the real question, have you ever grabbed the wrong mic? I know I did back in the day.
No.
You're a better man than me. Alright, I just thought I'd throw that in there. Anyways, I'm just taking lunch at my workbench. Have a good afternoon, drive safely, and enjoy the beautiful weather outside. KF8, BWF, I'll be standing by.
Yeah, I'm going to the, what I call going to the lakes, Pontiac Trail, making my way to Pontiac. Go help out a co-worker and get something taken care of. Enjoy your lunch. I'll be here as usual. KFK Joe.
KF8DBZ to KEA-KJO. Still listening, Tom?
Yes, I am. Still here.
Good deal. Clipper at this end. I think I heard you the other morning last week. You were saying something about looking for a GMRS radio for one of your coworkers.
My TMD9600 right now that I'm letting him use because it's got a little bit more juice in it. And I have it actually GMRS right now for him.
Whoa, that was a close one. Someone coming up behind me like didn't realize I was slowing down. I just almost got rear-ended. But I didn't. We're all cool. Everything's good. No, I was just, I've got a MXT275 sitting at the house that I no longer need that I got up for sale. I've got it, everything, including all the screws that went with it, the box, the owner's manual, and I bought a 10-foot mic extension cord for it as well. So, you know, if there's anybody out there was looking for a radio in GMRS, I've got one ready to go.
And do me a favor, go to QRZ and my email there, and then send me all the information on it. I'm also on Discord and Facebook if you find me.
All right, copy that. I'll do that when I get home. I'm out mobile and like you are. I'm doing DoorDash right now, making a few bucks to buy some more radios with.
I know DoorDash. I fix those DoorDashes.
Yeah, copy that. Like I said, I just do this to make some extra money. The pension and all that stuff pays the bills. You know, this just gets me my toy money.
Should.
Yeah, but anyways, with that, yeah, I'll get over to QRZ and shoot you an email and give you the particulars on it. I only used the thing for like, you know, 3-4 months before I punched my hand ticket and pulled it back out of my truck. It is basically in like new condition. But yeah, I'll shoot you an email, and I'm getting close to where I got to make my drop, so I'm going to say 73 for now. You be safe out there driving, and have a good afternoon. KF8DQZ, clear and monitoring after your final.
You do the same, sir. Stay safe out there driving. I know how crazy it is being a dasher. 73 for now. KCKGO, clear and monitoring.
KFA-TPZ with a public service announcement. Anybody driving around in Macomb County, if you're on Garfield, North 17, Wyandotte Middle School is in police lockdown. There's a heavy police presence there.
Yeah, I'll be right, Vinny.
W8FU.
Did you help Deb today?
I don't know. I sent my guys out there. I diverted them from another job to go take a look at it. So that's as good as I can do.
Yeah, that's good. She seemed satisfied.
Did she light up a cigarette after being with me?
I thought she might.
Well, there you go. So anyhow, yeah, I don't know how much you were brought into that or whether they talked to you at all about it or whatnot, but this company called DLI, something Digital Logger Incorporated or something, and it has a server. And the server runs the web client that they log into, and it directly interfaces with, you know, through USB audio to the login recorder. It was all purchased by you guys, but somehow Mickey got pulled into getting it working. So now we own it. Lesson learned.
Yeah, that's something I don't understand. What's your involvement with it?
We had a little bit of experience with that product at a couple of locations. A little different, but... And when Deb's predecessor sold that, he bought it, sold it to him, and we were having some trouble figuring out what had to be done or how that got... what was supposed to happen or how it was going to get hooked up, and I think Mickey just kind of got frustrated and said, get out of my way, and got it all running.
Okay. Alrighty then. I'm just left home now. So, probably going to go out on the boat today.
There you go. We were short today, and people were all over, and things were happening, and tomorrow I'm in Lansing all day, so I'm hoping, you know, that leaves me potentially Thursday and Friday to go see my buddy. It's on my radar as soon as possible, but, man, this week's just gobbling up fast.
Yeah, it's always shocking how fast it goes. All right. Pulling in the driveway. Catch you later. ABP.
Okie dokie. W8FU.
it's hilly.
What tower are you on? The UMP?
On the 2.6, copy.
You're on the Warren repeater. You're at what? 94 on where?
Warren, Central City Parkway. Metro Parkway. I-1536.
There's a mall climbing the repeater right there. Do you have that one in your radio?
I'm not 100% sure. I might.
Yeah, it should be 443.65 with the PL151.4, I believe.
Okay, yeah, I think that's the game. The game is here. All right. Yeah, I think I got that one.
Yeah, because you're a little bit scratchy. I'm on the LPS repeater out of Detroit, Birmingham.
Roger. Copy, yep. The 2.175.
Correct.
You need a second lane switch over, JC Kelly.
KJO. That's better, KJO. Oh, you got a call just close to mine. You must have got yours, your ticket in, 98, 99?
My original ticket in 2000. The original call was KCOGG, but I changed it to JOE because my name is Joe. Roger?
Gotcha. My name isn't Roger, though. It's Tom. Tango Oscar Mike, Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar.
Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. KCHJOE, Kilo Charlie 8, Juliet Oscar. Juliet Oscar Echo. Meaning is Joe. Again, Tom, thank you. I'm just driving along now. It finally broke up. I guess it was traffic for absolutely no reason.
And that's how it always is, right there around Metro Parkway. It kind of fogs down. You get to, South River Road, and then it picks up a little bit. You get the Hull Road, and then it fogs down again.
Roger. Yeah, I'm heading up to Fort Huron. I made the goofy mistake thinking that maybe I could do something with 696. That was incorrect. Ended up curving way south to turn back north. It made absolutely no sense.
Yeah, that sounds about right, because 696 is closed out, so they force you onto the lodge. You know, take the lodge all the way down to 94 or to 75 to go back up north to go to 696 east, or take the lodge to 75 to 94, take 94 east. Yeah, it's kind of goofy. Where are you coming from?
California. I was near 6 Mile on 275, so I figured that it might have been easier, and I forgot that it wasn't. But yeah, I'm coming from Livonia.
I would have just taken Hagerty all the way to Pontiac Lake and gone through and then hit the M59 east. I mean, it's still congested on 59, but based on going to go way south, you're actually going north, northeast, or northwest, and then get on Hall Road. That would have been the better way. I'm coming from, where am I coming from? I gotta think.
Hey, Roger. Yeah, I understand.
I don't know, in the 46 years or 47 years I've been alive, I don't know if they've ever not been doing construction on 696. Literally, since it opened, whenever it wasn't open, since I can remember, construction.
696 between I-75 and Telegraph Lodge, Northwestern Highway. It opened in, what, 1989? Yeah, it opened up just after I came back to Michigan from California. So, but I remember it being closed and having to take 12 mile all the way up to Franklin to, for training and stuff like that.
Roger. I mean, it's only, I literally think in the history of its existence, it's only been open, truly open for a couple of years, and then construction on one end or the other.
Oh, yeah. I can believe it. I remember it being, yeah, it's been on and off in construction for years, but they've never shut down the entire portion of it, except for last year and this year. You know, last year westbound, this year eastbound. So I've had to hit at least one lane open. You know, but they're, I don't know what they're doing. They're doing a complete rebuild. I mean, it's 30 some odd years old. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it needs it. Sure, some of the bridges do. What was it? There was a bridge inspector. He got fired, and I think he went to jail, too. Because he was signing off on bridges that were so far beyond what they should have been, that it wasn't funny. It was pretty bad. In Hines Park, there's one bridge that was so bad they had to tear the whole bridge out. I think it was the Merriman Road Bridge.
I think you're right. Oh, Barry back, got a phone call. KCHO.
KCHO. Not going anywhere fast.
Alright, I'm back. KCHO.
My concern is once I get up there, they're doing some work at the bottom of the Blue Water Bridge, and they've got a bunch of exits closed off, and I think they got the exit that I wanted to take closed off. And the traffic just spans, like, literally all the way, like, sometimes it comes all the way out and around out of the 94.
Okay, question is, where are you going in Port Huron?
Walnut Street, just under the bridge.
Water Street?
It's negative, Walnut. It's off of Hancock.
Alright, then get off on the Gratiot exit from 94. Which is just after the Wadhams exit going towards Port Huron. Get up on Gratiot and turn right and take that onto Electric Avenue and stay in the left lane until you get to 10th Street. When you get to 10th Street, I think that should be open. And turn left on 10th Street, and that'll take you right into Port Huron, right by the bridge.
That's what I usually do. I got lucky the last time Water Street was open, but yeah, it, like I said, the bridge traffic's too tight, it makes sense to get off on Gratiot.
Yeah, that's the way I go, is I get off on the Gratiot exit, and then just turn right and go down, go past through Marysville today, get to, gear left and get to 10th Street. And then I take 10th Street into Water Street, and that way right there to 24.
Roger. Showing the one of the last places I went before I left, trying to find my cousin's address. They should have been saved into the phone, but apparently it's not. But it shows ITW shaker proof. That was one of the last places I went with the Panther.
So he lives in Port Huron, your cousin, I take it? KKKJO Friday.
KKKJO, yes, he lives in Port Huron. He's right there underneath the bridge, basically. You can actually walk out the back there and look up and see it.
Well, that's a different view. At least he gets shade at least once a day.
Roger. And, like, just about a mile and a half, you can kind of stake your way down, maybe 2 miles, and there's a nice little park down there. And there's the lightship, which is kind of cool, the old Huron.
Yeah, I think there's an amateur radio club that transmits out of the Huron lightship.
Here, I want to say that he actually runs the boat, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I haven't been to that. I haven't actually gone to the lightship yet, but I definitely it's going to be on my bucket list.
Sure. One of their original receivers, the transceivers, which has got to be from right around the World War II era, or maybe East Korea. It's a big, huge tube unit. I think they used that for CW, but for voice, they use a nice, I think it's an Icon.
And you know more than I do. I mean, I haven't been on the light ship, but I'd really like to check out the radio room.
Pretty cool. They kind of don't let you get too close.
Well, yeah, they don't want anybody playing with a radio that's, you know, what, 80 years old.
Roger. And the modern Icon, I'm sure they want people playing with that because I think that would be pretty expensive to replace too. I mean, it's not super new, but it's way more modern than the ship's original, Roger. I mean, sorry. It's a lot newer there, Tom. It's probably 20, 25 years old as opposed to 70 or 80.
Well, I don't doubt it. But still, like you said, they don't want anybody to get close to it because it's still an older radio.
Yeah, it definitely is. There's a lot of cool to it, though. I want to think it's hard. It's got some pretty decent 671 Detroits in it, and then it's got 271 generators in Chinese.
I want to switch towers again and go over to Richmond 225 if you got it in your radio.
Yeah, I do, KCKGOE.
Yeah, that's better, KCKGO. I think Richmond should get you out to Port Huron. I'm staying at the Marine City, so I know it's got a pretty far reach for the Richmond tower.
That's cool. Yeah, I think my buddy that owns the junkyard that I'll be visiting later this evening, his girlfriend lives in Richmond.
Yeah, I live just north of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind living up this way. I probably like being out here much more than where I'm at now, but finding employment would be the problem.
What, selling your house in Livonia, moving out to Richmond?
Copy, either Richmond or Port Huron.
I live 10 minutes north of Richmond. I live in Memphis.
Copy. Yeah, I like more rural myself. I like small towns. I mean, Livonia's not bad, but when I say small town, I like smaller towns.
Well, Memphis is a small town. It's only 1 square mile, and it's split between St. Clair and Macomb counties. And there's only like 1,200 residents in the whole town.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That, you know, between that, like between 12 and maybe 7,500, 8,000 at the most, that'd be really nice.
Well, I lived in Rome. Romeo, I've lived in Mount Clemens, I've lived in Sterling Heights, lived in Marysville for a short stint, and ended up settling down in Memphis and love it. It is quiet. When I can sit in my backyard and stare at the sky and see stars and not city lights, makes me a happy camper.
That's exactly what I eventually want when I retire. I want to be able to look up at the sky and see stars instead of light pollution. I want to be able to put up a tower and not have anybody say a thing about it or have to ask neighbors permission or get the city government worker to come out there and look at the blueprints, get an engineer draw blueprints, and then the city worker sign off on it. No. I want to just be able to put it up.
That'd be like Riley Township. My coworker lives in Riley. He's like 5 minutes from my house off a dirt road. He's got 2.5 acres, and he can put one right in the middle of his yard if he wants. Memphis, there isn't an ordinance for ham antennas.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, you would be done right. I just don't see why you need to spend thousands of dollars on a tower and then thousands more on an engineer.
Well, you can put up a crank up. That way, when you're not using it, you crank it up, use it, you bring it back down. You can do that.
Yeah. KCHOE. Yeah, that's true. Very true. As a matter of fact, I don't think those actually require the special engineering thing. Or it might require a permit, but it's not nearly as stringent.
Check your city ordinance and check your HOA bylaws.
Lucky there, we don't have an HOA yet. There's been people that have been trying for years in their subdivision, and most of the neighbors said if it ever came down to it and we ever ended up with an HOA, they just move out. It's like I'm not paying taxes on my property twice.
Retirement is because my brother-in-law and my sister are living with me. And I don't know if they have any plans on leaving or not. It looks to me, and I didn't want to broach the subject, but it looks to me like they were looking at apartments because they got something in the mail.
Well, there you go. Get them out of there, sell the house, move to Port Huron, or move to Memphis or Richmond. All you got to do is just, I mean, you can find the ordinances online. I know Memphis ordinance is online, because I look it up. I also got the book, so.
Copy. Yeah, I don't know. I got, I still have to work. I mean, I'm only 47, so I still got to work for a while. But yeah, I got to find, I got to see what's going on. She might have, my sister might, I think it might be because they're looking, or she's looking to transfer to a different hospital. That's the only thing I can think of.
Do you work in Livonia, or do you work in another area?
In another area? I work in Ypsilanti. I'm a chief security officer, so I work for a company that's contracted to GM.
Well, it's right off of 94 where Marysville is, close to Port Huron. I live in Memphis, and I got to go out to Ann Arbor three times a week. And it's only like an hour and a half drive for me.
It honestly would be perfect. The right size house and everything. I just put a little retirement nest in together, grab all my junk, throw everything together. But also, I could be mistaken on the one thing that I saw. That could have been just nursing stuff. Because there's an office complex by the same exact name, pretty much in the same place.
Yeah, Livonia, they got really tight ordinances there. I mean, you can't even park a company van on the street in Livonia. You have to park it somewhere else. You know, and you can't have your camper on your driveway without this, or they're kind of screwy out there.
It was kind of funny when I was driving for Panther, I parked my cargo van and I could drive every night. They never bothered me.
Yeah, you park it in the driveway, but you can't park it on the street, right?
Yeah, one night, I never got bothered. And sometimes I park it, I station so that I could walk out of the house. Because I knew I was going to be leaving at 3 or 4 in the morning anyway.
Oh, maybe they changed it. We had a coworker that lived in Livonia, and his company truck, you know, had the logo and everything on it, and he couldn't park it on the street. He had to park it in the driveway or down the street or something like that, because it said no marked, you know, no company vehicles on city streets or some goofy thing like that. KCK deal. KCK deal.
Yeah, they were trying to compete with Coral Springs down in Florida. Coral Springs had about had the same policy. Coral Springs, you couldn't even have a sale sign in your car. There's certain places you had to take in order to sell it, or you had to market. You had to market it privately.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be attuned to that. So in Memphis, my little van here gets parked right in front of the house.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that I don't like about it, but I don't know if they would uproot my niece from Percy to high. I mean, they're waiting before she goes to high school. I don't know.
Sounds like you're getting close to Marysville because you're starting to break up again.
As a matter of fact, I think I just saw a sign that said something about Marysville. And this little antenna that I've got in this car isn't breaking the LMR ham radio, CMRS, or any UHF business records.
Yeah, I don't know if the LPS repeater reaches out that far. I mean, the Richmond is like the northernmost repeater that I can think of for UHF.
Yeah, the other ones are all Port Huron and stuff. I don't think I have any Port Huron programmed into this radio. I've
programmed this radio long before I knew that I was going to start coming up here.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't think there's a link for Dieter from Port Huron for Central Michigan network. Richmond, I think as it is the farthest one I know for the FBI repeater that's linked to Central Michigan.
Copy. You know, I got gotten off my dog. That would have taken me right to the junkyard. And then from there I get a stop and program my cousin's house in. Oops.
Well, once you get off on grass, you can do that when you went to the Myers gas station or something like that.
Hey, Tom, I'm over here right now in AWRO.
Oh, okay. I'm over here now, too. I'm on the UMP.
was here now, too.
Hey, too many radios here, man.
It keeps me entertained. Who else we got out there?
Foo.
The man himself, Sean.
Oh, it sounded like it.
Did you just assume my gender?
No, we just know you as W8FU.
Okay, you said the man himself. And said, how does he know? Anyhow, I gotta get gas here.
I got that earlier, and I used the upside app, and I got like $2 back.
Waiting to turn in here, but I'm trying to get this. I'm getting a BP card to let me use all BPs and Amacos, and they got a really good introductory offer, like 50 cents a gallon off. But after that, it's pretty much on par with the big warehouse clubs. So, and then I don't have to be a member. All right, I'll let you guys get back to it. I'll be back in here in just a moment after I put a few bucks in. W8FU. Tim?
Dave's on the other one, talking to his pops, and I think I'm going to try to make that St. Clair County net. But you know that Alpha 3 is not at the airport. It's up closer to Port Huron. So this will be interesting. 146.72.
Isn't that the Bell River repeater?
No, this one's Alpha 3. The Bell River is 14732, but this one tonight, 7 p.m., St. Clair County ARPSC net should be on 146.72. They call that their Alpha 3. I thought it was at the airport, but apparently it's just north of 69, west of Port Huron. So I'm going to give it a shot, 7 o'clock.
All right, what's the PL on it?
The PL tone is 186.2, 186.2. It is a negative 0.6 offset.
You said 146.72?
Correct, 146.72 for the frequency. And hey, Tom, I got a phone call. I got to jump out for a bit. NAWRO.
KCKQ.
Hey, Bailon.
Oh, you sound beautiful today. You must be at home, KCKQ.
Yeah, in Holly, so real close to the repeater. I'm on an HT.
Oh, you sound a lot louder than usually when you're on the road. You seem kind of a little bit distant, like a little bit more quiet. But here, I mean, you're clear as a bell.
Yeah, well, my XTS-5 case probably sound a little bit different than the mobile radio.
Yeah, way different. I probably sound the same. Any easily and correctly.
Yeah, I don't know. You're going to receive something a little clearer on this radio. I don't know.
Oh, it's the same radio. It still depends on how far away I hold the mic, I guess. I have a speedo in my truck. No, I don't.
Well, I'm saying on my end, the receive sounds better than the mobile.
Oh, my God, was I in the most ridiculous gas station ever, as far as size.
Too big or too small?
Tiny. I mean, there's no room to move, maneuver. It felt like everywhere you went in the parking lot, around the pumps, you were just about getting smashed into.
just this tiny, tiny little gas station lot right on the corner of 15 and Ryan. And there was at least three times while I was in there, I thought I was about a coat of paint away from getting hit.
Oh, I've been to that one. Yeah, that one's tiny.
We got gas yesterday, and there's a great Dane roaming the lot just with no leash, just unless I hopped out of somebody's car.
I just been filling up at whatever, wherever, you know, just, I put $20 in. I put $20 in because I thought I'd already have my card for the BP deal I'm going to sign up for. So I just said, well, I'll just put $20 in. And then I just had to put 20 in again. You know, and I said, I'm waiting for my card, you know. I don't want to fill up at, you know, 309 when I've got, you know, 50 cents off a gallon in a day or two. That card should be there any day.
Quite a big dog, so it's like having a loose horse around the gas station.
He's got a great Dane. Chihuahua mix. It's the only dog we have right now. And, you know, I let him out yesterday, and I got a doe with some fawns living in the yard, living in the back 40, and Mama was out there sunning, and she was pretty chill. You know, she'll see me, and she'll hardly run. She'll kind of sit there and watches me, but My little turd, he goes after her, like, you know, with the hackles up and all this. I'm like, would you cut it out? She didn't even flinch, but I'm like, what the hell is he doing?
Oh, my pet black lab. She's a big girl. She's a muscle. No worries, it's my muscle. Then I got a 30 or about a 40-pound
in my face. The one dog just keeps coming up and just trying to make out with me. I don't know.
Got dog in your face, you big disgrace.
Don't make me laugh, Sean. I'm going to cough up a lung here. Just get over this cold and it's driving me nuts.
Just trying to think what the alternate. Instead of we will rock you, we will, trying to think of something that works with a dog in your face. I don't know. I'm not on my game.
Got a dog in your face with a slobbering race. They will lick you. CTKO.
It's a good thing we can't say because that's not allowed on amateur radio.
Oh, I lost part of that. I'm going to switch over to Warren for a minute.
Hi, said it's a good thing we can't sing, because it's not allowed in amateur radio.
Yeah. We can't sing, well, properly. So live answer is you can't go perfect.
I'm here, but it's probably just better to be listening. Can you be with me?
I'm at the drive-thru back in a minute. W8FU. Okay, this was the most difficult chow run I've made recently. I went to a regular restaurant the other day, and I was like, boom, boom, in and out so fast, and I didn't even order in advance. I had to actually order when I got there. This one was all sorts of messed up. But I'm finally on my way home.
Well, there you go. I'm on my way home, too. I'm at, what, North 29 Mile Road? Yeah, that's where I'm at. I stop over at my brother-in-law's and pick up a part that I moved for Grand Rapids.
Is this where you got to go tomorrow?
No, Thursday, doing it Thursday, as long as the chief of security at the attorney's office says, yeah, Thursday is fine. I'm going to go on his schedule, not mine.
Well, I'm going to be on the road. I'm going to be just like Tom tomorrow. I've got to go to Lansing.
75 north to 69 west.
Well, I'll take 696 out, because it's open, and I got to be out there at 2, so I'll be leaving around noonish. Give myself a little push. It should be smooth sailing, but coming home, it's going to be a nightmare. Bad traffic, 696 eastbound shutdown. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm half tempted to do the 69 route and down. I don't know. Play it by ear.
That's the way that I would go. So if you're going after, well, if you're leaving from the home base, then you can take 696 to 96 to Lansing. You go up 196 over to probably where you need to go. And but coming home, I would definitely go north to 69 to 75 south, and then drop you right off at 12 Mile. That would be the route I would go, because there is construction northbound on 75, but coming southbound, it's a lot quicker. That way you're not going to go all the way down to Detroit to come all the way up. So yeah, 75 to 696 to 96 in the Lansing, and then the reverse, I go north, north of town, and then come to Flint. Way faster.
Yep. The problem is I'm going to be in Diamonddale, so I'm going to be south, kind of like, it's kind of like east-west, it's kind of like midway. It's right where it starts. You know how as you, on 96, you're going underneath Lansing, and then it kind of hooks north for a bit before it heads out of Lansing? I'll be right there where it starts to hook north, just off the freeway, so I don't know if they'll still want to take me. I don't know. I'll see what the GPS says when I leave tomorrow. But there's almost no circumstance where 69 would be at least equal to, at best, I think, taking the regular route 96 with the closures. We'll play it by ear.
Well, if you get done early enough, you want to delay a little bit of traffic, check out the peanut shop right there downtown. It's right down the street from the Capitol. Fresh roasted peanuts, walnuts. Oh, it's great. You got to check it out.
Yeah, you told me about that.
Let's see here. Road closed to through traffic, but I'm not going through. I just got to get to that street right there. There we go. Booyah! Successfully navigated the closed traffic in my subdivision, the closed roads. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to look that up. Maybe go by there. Well, it depends on the time. Maybe I'll go early. Then I'd be more likely to go, because I'll tell you what, I get out of that meeting out there and it's already 4 at the earliest, and I know I'm faced with, you know, traffic and a couple hours drive, and I just, last thing I want to do is go out of my way. So maybe if I go early, go there first.
If you do that, then the roads and peanuts are literally still warm, and they just open it up right there. I mean, they roast them right there in the store. So yes, go early, get some fresh peanuts in the shell, and check out everything else. They have cashews the size of your thumb.
Okay, I'm here, so just give me the name of that. I'll look it up when I get inside and catch you in a bit. W8FU.
Enjoy your takeout. Send me a tank, KJK Joe, and I'll text you the link. NAWRO, KJK Joe. Tim, you still out there for a quick sec?
Hey, Jane.